Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman. Today, we've got Rocket Mortgage storylines. We've got Rocket Mortgage props. We've got Rocket Mortgage matchups. And we've got Rocket Mortgage expert picks. And joining me, the experts, one of them rocking his purple. Is that purple? It is purple, right?
It's purple.
It's Greg purple. Ducharme. Hey, Greg. Nice shirt.
Wearing purple today. Pretty excited about it. I just forgot my towel at the gym.
Well, Kyle Porter has not forgotten his towel at the gym. He has got it draped over his shoulders. If you're watching on YouTube,
I forgot this is on YouTube.
I kind of thought that was an intentional YouTube play.
Full Bryson workout mode. That's what now, you just got done a Bryson workout, right?
So here's what happens. What happens is I have this shed that I built, and the AC is right behind me. And if I turn it on, you wouldn't be able to hear me. And it's like 99 out right now. So 40 minutes in, I'm going to start sweating.
Did you actually build it or like you had it built?
No, I built it with my wow. Paws.
Yeah. I'm very impressed. I couldn't build a stick house. I don't think.
The old stick house?
The old stick house. Also, this got me thinking, if Bryson DeChambeau released a workout like video or workout subscription, like I would pay $99 a month for that, I think. Right? Like if I could be like Bryson, we could call it Be Like Bryson. Can someone get me in touch with him? Like, this is a great idea.
Can we just do a dramatic reading of his press conference today?
Oh, I think I have it. Yeah. I do have some clips we'll get to, or some quotes we'll get to, but it is dramatic reading would be nice.
Yeah.
He's insane.
He's the gift that keeps on giving.
All right, well, let's talk about it. I mean, that's literally our first topic of conversation, so we can jump into this. What we're doing is storylines. So the things that we're looking out for this week, Greg, I'm not exactly sure what this means, so I'm very interested to find out, but your storyline is Bryson the new Sungjae, which I'm assuming has to do with playing time.
Yeah, he's playing every week, and he's playing great. And I'm looking at the schedule, and we got Memorial following the workday event, which he's won the Memorial. So he's won at Muirfield Village before. And I'm thinking, how is he going to take one of those 2 weeks off? So he's looking at six in a row. He's got this new body. He's hammering down these protein shakes like crazy. He's weighing, 250 or something, walking around miles and miles a day. And I'm just wondering, are we going to see Bryson win? And I'm sure you're going to talk about this, Rick. Are we going to see him win, or are we going to see a decline from fatigue? I'm really surprised that he's playing this week, considering Muirfield is the next 2 weeks afterwards. So I'm really looking forward to see if Bryson can continue to shoot 65 every time he plays, or if we kind of see a bad round, a bad tournament, which we haven't yet.
How often do guys that don't have to play 6 weeks in a row? Because I kind of feel like this is the spot he should have taken off to play workday and then the Memorial, both at Muirfield Village. For a guy who loves data, you would think he would want to play both of those. Like,
it's very rare that you see 6 weeks in a row. Webb Simpson played a lot in a row last year towards the end of the year, but he took off a long layoff beforehand. I guess Bryson has to. So I concede that point as well. It happens, but it's very rare. And it's one of the biggest advantages when you win on the PGA Tour for the very first time. You win on tour for the first time, you get to choose your schedule. That means you get to take weeks off. You get to rest when you need to rest. You get to play courses that suit your game instead of ones that don't suit your game. And Bryson is in that position. He's a player that he's not fighting for his card. He's fighting to win majors, win a FedEx Cup, win more events on the PGA Tour. So it's definitely something that I'll be watching, Bryson's fatigue throughout this week.
Bryson's fatigue. That sounds like a
band. I know, it's hard to imagine or something. Works out three times a day.
So my take on this is what I mean, he released like what he does at home and it doesn't look very exciting. So why would you not just play every week?
Okay. Yeah, it's a fair point.
You know what might be powering him? This is from the press conference today. He is drinking 7 Orgain. Is that, I don't even know how to pronounce that. Orgain. Is that a brand or like a, is that what's in it? Like, I don't even know what that is. 7 protein shakes every single day. And the quote, luckily, I like the taste of those shakes, so I can consume them pretty easily.
He's got to be their new spokesperson.
So I'm right. Yeah, I'm looking up what they've got different flavors. They've got 4 different flavors here. So we've got.
So that's a brand.
We got creamy chocolate fudge. We got sweet vanilla bean. We have iced coffee mocha, iced cafe mocha, and strawberries and cream. All of those sound like I just want to die. Like I would not make it through a round of golf after drinking one.
It reminds me of the Anchorman quote of milk was a bad choice.
Yeah, like, hey, Caddy, could you toss me the strawberries and cream shake in the middle of my round? What is that?
I kid you not. These are
a little warm from.
These are available at Target, and they're in the same aisle as Ensure. So, like, that's what we're dealing with at the moment. This guy's out of his mind. This is great, though.
Yeah. See, that's the thing about my storyline is it's just continuing this Bryson show, right? We're watching the show. We get it week after week after week. So I am wondering, is he going to wear out or is he not? And I'm also just, I can't wait to see what he does.
Did you like the flex where he said regarding Donald Ross, I think there's a lot of bunkers that are around 290. So hopefully I'll be able to clear those and take those out of play. And then he followed that up by saying, so sorry, Mr. Ross, but you know, it is what it is.
Okay. Here's my thing with this. Like I got some feedback from people that think that I or other people on Twitter are like fat shaming Bryson. That's not it. I land more on the side of like, I mean, the weight gain is, I think it's actually like smart. Like I'm not trying, I don't, that hasn't been like my position, but the flip side is like, and I mentioned this 2 weeks ago, he might be like a psycho. Like this is the working of like, I mean, Ryan Lavner had the great quote from a college coach when Bryson was in college about like, he's that guy in 10 years, either going to be the number one player in the world or in a straitjacket. And you're like, well, yeah, that actually makes sense. And I just don't know. Like, I mean, to talking about what Greg was saying earlier, like it kind of makes sense that somebody like this would pull, like, I'm surprised he's not playing 2 tournaments this week with how crazy all this stuff is. I don't know. I don't know where this goes or if he, I just don't, I don't even know what to do with all of it.
I do actually like that take where I think about this a lot with like billionaires, like Elon Musk, like you have to be pretty crazy to be like, oh yeah, we're just going to like send somebody to Mars or like, we're going to send somebody like only like you have to be a little bit nuts to even think that some of this stuff is possible. And in Bryson's case, like you have to be a little bit nuts to conceive this and then commit to it and be cool. Like it is. Yeah. There's a big mental side to this as well.
You got to dare. You got to dare to dream. Bryson does for sure. But at every level, he has succeeded. I've made this point a number of times on here. It's just he tries something that's crazy. We all call it crazy, and it works, and he succeeds. So, I mean, yes, he's definitely out there with some of these thoughts because they're different. But they continue to work. So I give him a ton of credit. There's no shaming for me and Bryson. It's just, it's fun to watch. It's fun to story. It's so unique. It's crazy to watch. It's a great story. So I'm more impressed than anything else. It's definitely like you were saying, Kyle, there's no shaming here.
I also think the commitment to it is like, we're sort of underplaying that. Like if I told you like, okay, you have to gain 30% of your body weight or whatever to become like 2% better at your job, would you do it? No, you wouldn't do it because because you have an ego. You have, I mean, what, you know, whatever I can't think of the right word right now, but nobody would do that because they want to just like would be, I don't know. It's just a crazy thing to do, and he's doing it.
well, that's what we were saying about, like, Rick said he should have a video online, like a Bryson workout video. I don't think people could do it, right? I mean, you're going to work out three times a day or whatever he's doing in season. I know in the off season it was three times a day. You're going to drink seven protein shakes a day. I mean, I don't care what you charge for. You give it away for free. How many people can do that?
Well, if you get coupons for the strawberries and cream, I might do it.
Yeah, partnership. What would 2% better of our jobs be? Does that improve my touch typing skills, like more words per minute? Like, what does that look like?
Well, maybe you pick 2% more winners.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, see, but I think that's actually a good point because the margins are so thin.
Yeah.
In what you're doing there. And the margins for Bryson are so thin between being like number seven and number four in the world that he's committing like all this energy and all this time and all this effort and just this image to become like, I mean, 2% is probably overstating it, like 0.5% better. But then all of a sudden you might be like the number two or number three guy in the world.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. We talk a lot about how razor thin it is from like guys who are 100, you know, even 50 to 200 are like the same guy. Big storyline from last week was Will Gordon. Kyle, that is also what you're looking forward to this week. And now it's a sprint for him. So I'm also interested to see how this goes for Willie Gordon.
Yeah. This reminds me, we saw it a bunch last year, which was kind of abnormal, but it does remind me, we'll see it pop up every year, maybe every 2 years, where you've got a young guy that's kind of riding this wave of really good play. And, you know, I don't know. I struggled with this because last week is so, to get into contention like that, to play with Phil on a Saturday, like when you're in the final group, that's crazy. And that can be kind of emotionally draining, but I don't know. I watched him on Sunday. He just seemed kind of like, yeah, whatever. Like I shot 64 and finished T3. I've got my temporary membership. Like I'm, you know, onto the next one. I don't think that he'll be drained by that. I think we're just seeing somebody talk about somebody who does have to play every week. I guess he doesn't now, but he's just trying to get every possible start he can. And I think I think he's just on a heater. Like, I think this is the middle of something that's going to be pretty special.
Maybe, but maybe he's just good. Like four of his last five starts on tour are like 21st or better. And one was at Torrey, which is obviously tough field, tough track. One was RSM. There was one after Torrey Pines. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head, but like, he might just be good.
Yeah.
He was the 2019 player of the year in the SEC, right? I mean, that's big time golf down at Vanderbilt. I mean, that's last year. The guy's an elite college player who has proven that he can do it out on the PGA Tour. So I'm kind of with you, Rick. We haven't heard his name. He hasn't gotten the attention that, you know, Hovland and Wolf and Morikawa and those other college players have got, but I think you're right. I think he is good.
He just might be
I think him and Morikawa are both I think they're in the same class, right? Like, I think they're both class of 15 in high school.
I'm pretty sure they're comparable at the very least.
I'm pretty sure.
Did Morikawa go, 3 years at Cal?
I think he went all four.
I thought he did too. That's why I was trying to figure out if he would have been class of 19.
Oh, so Morikawa, he was class of 19. That's what you forget. He was class. You're right. They are same class.
Yeah. So,
man, he has so much experience, Morikawa. You forget that he was a college kid last year.
Yeah, totally.
That's wild. That,
hey, did you guys know that he had never missed a cut as a pro?
Are you sure? Do you have a source for that? Like every article and thing ever. We brought that up on the pod. I was like, let's just get this out of the way. And he like, I swear he rolled his eyes. I was like, oh, I've heard that. That I've had this cut streak going. That was when it was at like, I don't know, 14 or something.
That's great.
My big thing, speaking of fat shaming, I accidentally typed Hovland as Hovlard into our group chat and producer Jacob said I shouldn't be fat shaming him. But here we are. So my big thing for this week is obviously with Victor Hovland seemingly on the verge and getting into a very, I don't say weak field, but the weakest field we've seen since the restart. It all comes back to the Puerto Rico Open curse and whether Victor Hovland is going to break it, whether Tony Finau will eventually break it, or whether no one, Greg, whether the Puerto Rico Open curse will be unbeatable. Now, we put this out on Twitter 55% of the First Cut podcast followers say Victor Hovland will break it. 17% say Tony Finau will be the first to break it. 26 say it's unbreakable. And then we triggered a couple of Chess and Hadley and DA fans, but by excluding them from the poll.
So one, I'm definitely a Chess and Hadley fan.
Yeah, you're one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a big fan. He's awesome. He's what the PGA Tour needs. He's got some personality. I mean, he's got to start playing a little bit better for sure, but he is a good player. And he's a cool guy. He's a great guy. But anyway, on the Puerto Rico Open thing, I'm surprised that 26% say unbreakable. I mean, you got Tony Finau and Victor Hovland. These are top players who have won. I have to imagine one of those two guys is going to break the curse, but the more events pass, the curse, it carries more weight.
Hovland's going to get like 400 cracks at this. Like, he's got to do it. Like,
I know, but there's a point in time where all of a sudden, like, if you're like Sergio Garcia, right, and you have this major championship monkey on your back, it weighs on you. The pressure builds and builds and builds. And Sergio basically has to take a year off and play soccer, and then when he comes back, he's able to win a green jacket. So there's like, the longer it goes, the longer the streak lives, just like Colin Morikawa faces, the more pressure builds. And so if you're, you know, I don't know how much traction it'll get in the media. We'll continue to talk about it because it's fun to talk about, but it's very interesting. And if it's not the curse, it's just why hasn't he won yet? Where's this next win going to come from? He's so good. Why hasn't he won? Tony Finau's starting to get a little bit of that. So I don't know. I mean, there's a guy on Twitter who wrote a song about Tony Finau. When will Tony Finau win again? I can't think of the guy's name.
Is it the guy who does Arnie's Army and everything else on PGA
no.
Tour Radio? Oh.
No, this is a piano song. It's hysterical. Honestly, I got to try to find it. I can't think of the guy's
now
name.
Now you have to. Now yeah. We got to hear it.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I remember this. Yeah. I think I remember this. Okay.
So it's a great piano.
Here's. I love Greg on just going deep on Twitter music.
Let's get a piano review from Greg.
So producer Jacob just posted it in our chat, by the way. Okay. So I think what's interesting is you look at the runners up at the Puerto Rico Open. The list is crazy, right? So going back to 08, you got, and these, I won't say the year. I'll just read everybody's name. Jerry Kelly, Bo Van Pelt, Jason Day, Brett Quigley, Chris Blanks, Troy Madison, Rio Ishikawa, shout out, Jordan Spieth, Fabian Gomez, Danny Lee, Sam Saunders, Tim Petrovic, John Curran, Emiliano Grillo, Steve Marino, Retief Goosen, Bryson, Johnson Wagner, Daniel Berger, Aaron Baddeley, Roger Sloan, Josh Teeter. So you got Berger, you got three-time winner, you got Spieth, 11-time winner, you got Jason Day, 13-time winner, 12-time winner, whatever he is. So you've got all these guys that are like, I mean, Retief Goosen won what, two majors, three majors,
34 wins or something.
And it's crazy that like they all finish runner up, but then nobody, you know, the Martin Trainers and the Derek Lamleys of the world. Who's Derek Lamley? He won
no
the
idea.
2010 Puerto Rico Open presented by Banco Popular.
That company's out of business now, I think. I don't know.
Maybe it's Banco Popular. I don't know what it is.
I liked the first one. here's the best way to end this Puerto Rico Open thing is that I've been talking about this for like 3 weeks, and I've been saying every single time, the only guy to ever win again was Michael Thompson when he won the Puerto Rico Open again. It wasn't even Michael Thompson. It was Michael Bradley. I've been saying the wrong name for like 3 weeks, and no one corrected me because no one noticed or cared.
Wasn't Michael Bradley on the like 2012 the U.S. World Cup team?
I can click his wiki.
not that Michael Bradley.
Not that Mike. I don't know. No, maybe Michael Bradley. Oh, do you know where Michael Bradley went to college? Oklahoma State.
No.
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah. Michael Bradley, wow. The golfer, went to Oklahoma State.
He's 53.
Oh, yeah.
He won the Puerto Rico Open in like
twice.
In 2011. Wow.
See, this is why you go down a Puerto Rico Open rabbit hole, because it all works out. Real quick, before we take a break, you know what we did not even talk about? There is a Wednesday match. There is a Wednesday match that is Bubba and who is it? Bubba and HV3.
Yeah.
Versus Day and Wesley Bryan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nine holes. That'll be kind of interesting, right? We didn't even talk about it.
We didn't talk about it. Nine-hole match. it goes to these things without Tiger playing, without Phil playing, they don't garner the traction. So I think it's cool though. I do think if you could kind of have a little matches like this in the lead up to the event, I think it could definitely grow traction on tour. You kind of take the theory of the match with Tiger or Phil and the quarterbacks. If you could do something like that, it'd be a great way to get the Tony Romos involved, like many of the tournaments seem to want to, and you know, have a little bit of fun leading into the event. It could definitely be a way to draw traction.
You know what else would draw some traction, Greg? If we started giving away $1,000 without even having to risk any of your own money, wouldn't that gain some traction, my friend?
I'd say sign me up.
You know what? Okay, you can get signed up. You can go to cbssports.com/golfprops. That's cbssports.com/golfprops because we've got our very own golf props game available. The link is in the description. You can check it out there as well. 10 questions every single round of the tournament. If you get the most correct, we send you $1,000 right out of Greg Ducharme's bank account.
Hey.
Wouldn't that be great if it's like our money was on the line? So 4 opportunities every single week. Terms and conditions apply. It does not come from Greg's bank account, but I've got a prop here for you, gentlemen. This is hot off the presses. This is like just came out, probably not even loaded into the system yet. What score will Victor Hovland shoot in round one? Options, Kyle. Over 68.5. Under 68.5. Remember, Detroit Golf Club, traditional par 72 with 4 par 5s. How do we feel about Victor Hovland?
I like under. I mean, you know, I ran the numbers the other day. I don't know if you know this, but I can use a spreadsheet. I got a text from Justin Ray. He's like, wow, you actually hopped on a spreadsheet. I'm like, okay, well, you don't need to say it like that. If you look at just strokes gained off the tee and strokes gained approach, Victor Hovland's number 5 on the tour this year if you add up those two numbers. So it's
we call that strokes gained ball striking.
Okay. But that's not like a PGA Tour stat, right?
No, that is a deep cut.
That's a first cut.
Oh, a first deep, deep cut there. First cut. Yeah.
Sure. So anyway, he's number 5. Terrell, I think the guys ahead of him are like Terrell Hatton, Paul Casey, Bryson, and Rory. So that's really good company if you're trying to figure out, like, I mean, if you run through the top 10 list, it's sick. It's Patrick Cantlay, it's Hideki, it's the best guys on tour. And this is the company that Hovland's keeping, even if his results maybe haven't seen it necessarily in his results because his putter hadn't been very good. So all that to say, I like under 68.5 for Victor Hovland because I think he's going to have an awesome week. And I think he's going to be under 68.5, if not every round, then close to it.
Yeah, I feel similarly. That those ball striking numbers are so good and so predictive. The other side of it, when you add around the green and putting, we call that strokes gained short game, which is a little hard to say. It's a mouthful. Greg, over 68.5, under 68.5, Victor Hovland, round one.
I'm going to go under as well for many of the reasons Kyle just said. The guy's so consistent, tee to green. You alluded to it, Rick. It's very predictable. It's very consistent. And I think he's going to have a great chance. Chip away. I mean, you talk about that he's got to shoot 4 under to do that. And I think the kid can definitely do that. Handling the par 5s, you know, making a couple of putts. You don't have to even putt crazy to make that happen. So I don't think it's a walk away because it's one round, one score that you got to shoot. But I think he can shoot 68 or better.
All right. On the other side, we've got matchups. We're going to go through our weekly matchups. We are also going to provide our expert picks and our best bets for the Rocket Mortgage Classic. And we'll do that right after these words.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now, here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any US orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. And we're back. All right, gentlemen. We are now in week four, I think, of this, where we all pick heads. I don't know who won last week. Did we ever get the results of that, producer Jacob? I'll check the chat. But Mark won week one, I think. Kyle, you won week two. We'll wait on week three, but here we go. Week four. We're going to go through each one of these and pick a side. Greg, first one here, Bryson DeChambeau, big favorite, massive favorite, minus 175 against Webb Simpson, plus 138. Which side would you like, sir?
I'm going to take Webb. I think he's too good to give up those kind of odds. Bryson's playing great, very consistent, but so is Webb. And he had to take a week off last week. I'm not sure what exactly happened while he was home. I hope he and everybody else is healthy, which it sounds like they are. So I'm going to go with Webb. I just think the odds are, you know, too good not to take the underdog here.
If you gave me Webb plus 138 against almost anybody on tour, I'd probably take it, but not here. I don't know. I'm afraid Bryson's just going to dismantle the par fives and just destroy this course. Kyle?
I'm worried about the creamy chocolate fudge that he might overdose on creamy chocolate. I'm reading reviews on this nutritional shake. I might be the only person that's ever read one of these reviews other than the people who left it. Do you think Bryson's left a review on the Orgain website?
Do you think Bryson leaves review? I bet you like he's probably most likely to leave a Yelp review.
For sure.
Bryson.
Way up there. Top three. Definitely.
Bryson, Webb, and I bet you Kuchar leaves bad Yelp reviews.
Mm.
Wow, a shot across the bow.
I mean, it's not like he's listening, right? Hi, Matt.
Of course not. No, sorry for that, Matt.
Do you think DJ's ever left a Yelp review?
DJ doesn't know what Yelp is. So no, I don't think he has. Patrick Reed, go ahead.
Wait, I'll get Webb. Better number.
Okay. I forgot we missed you. Patrick Reed, minus 125 versus Hideki. Hideki was like, I know this is not a news flash, but Hideki was so bad with the putter the last time we saw him. Like, even bad for him. I'll just go with Patrick Reed. Kyle.
Well, this is tough because I'm picking Reed to win the event.
Spoiler.
But I kind of like Hideki here. Is that called hedging? or is it called just being a moron?
No, as long as you say it's hedging, then you can.
I guess you could call it hedging. You're definitely you're guaranteed to get one wrong. We could say that.
I'll go Hideki.
Okay, I'm gonna go Hideki as well, and I think he's gonna figure something out with the putting. He had it figured out at the Players. I mean, poor guy shoots 9 under in one round, but he had a new putter in his hand. The stroke looked a lot better. It hasn't translated coming out of the break, but I think he's going to get it back here one of these weeks. So I'm going to go Hideki.
Ricky Fowler going through swing changes minus 125 against Scottie Scheffler, who's even money. Greg, I'm such a big fan of Scottie. I'm surprised we've not seen him at the top of more leaderboards.
Yeah, I agree. It has been a little surprising. I'm going to go Scottie because I do like his upside a lot. And I just have my doubts about Ricky Fowler. I'm not going down that rabbit hole today. But yeah, I'm going to go Scottie.
I do have this take where if Ricky wasn't a Rocket Mortgage guy, he just wouldn't be here. He's going like missed 3 out of 4 cuts. It's not going great. He's got to show up and do the what is it? Dog and pony show for the spot. Like I'm kind of out on Ricky. Give me Scottie, Kyle.
Yeah. I love Scheffler. I think super undervalued here. Good number. Love it.
This one, I was probably most surprised. JT Poston, significant favorite at minus 138 versus Bubba Watson plus 110. Mr. Kyle.
Yeah. Poston, where did he put, he played well, what? RBC Heritage?
RBC Heritage.
The first 2 weeks, I think he played well. I think he missed the cut last week.
What was it, like a T21 and a T10 or something?
That sounds right.
I think Bubba here at plus 110. I don't know. I mean, Bubba hasn't been like, you know, top 15 guy in the world, but yeah, I kind of like the value there.
I'll take Poston. I don't love it. He went T10 at Charles Schwab, T8 at RBC before he missed the cut, Greg. I'll take Poston. I'm not a big Bubba guy.
Yeah, I'm going to take Poston as well. Not a Bubba course. Rick, we talked about this a little bit yeah. with Jordan Spieth yesterday. And if it's not a Bubba course, without you me? Wonder, is he going to...
We are allowed to do that.
Yeah. Every once in a while. Sorry we didn't tell you. But yeah, it was... You wonder if he's going to give it. It doesn't always feel like he's going to give it your all. If it's not going his way, he doesn't like the course. He can get into some attitudes where he seems like he's complaining a lot. I'm not saying he's not trying, but you get the sense that he's not, you know, grinding the way some of these other guys do. So I'm going to take Poston, but I don't like this one at all. I'd be staying away from this one.
What if he does that on the Wednesday match? Like it's going poorly after 4 holes, and then he's like, "I'm good, guys."
He starts ripping Ted Scott, like blowing him up. Yeah, we'll know the winner of this matchup like Thursday morning. By the way, because if it goes sour for Bubba, it's not coming back. Lucas Glover minus 110, Brendan Todd minus 110. I'll take Lucas Glover. If you want to talk just like one round, you could not find two diverging situations here. Glover, I think, shot a 63 on Sunday at Travelers, and Brendan Todd, we know what he did, Greg.
Yeah, this is spoiler alert, my best bet of the week. I'm gonna go Glover here. I just look at Brendan Todd and the makeup of his game is great, but that was about as difficult a round as you can face, and there's got to be some sort of a emotional kind of hangover from that. So I'm very worried about Brendan Todd for this week. I think it'll take a little time to shake off that round. So not feeling great about it. And, you know, I like Glover a lot. That's probably why it's my best bet. I really think Glover's going to have a good week. So I'm going to go Lucas Glover here.
Yeah, wow. Same. I got Glover. He's 3 straight top 25, same as Victor Hovland, but he's not
so good.
Yeah. I mean, just flushes it, just lights out. So yeah, I like him here.
Clean sweep for the glove. Will Gordon minus 110 versus Maverick McNealy minus 110. Kyle, I believe I know where you're going here.
Yeah, I like Gordon. McNealy might be part of that 15 class as well. There's some just, I feel like that might be one that we look back on like 11, the JT and Spieth one and Berger. And it's like, wow, that was unbelievable. But yeah, I like Will Gordon.
I'm going to agree with that. I like Will Gordon here. I think he's really good. And I think we're going to start to get to know him over the coming weeks.
I was trying to find out what year he graduated. I think you're right. I will make a clean sweep of Will Gordon. I like, a little hungry guy. Go out there, win some money, Will. Let's do it. Doc Redman minus 110 versus Brent Snedeker minus 110. Talk about two different situations here. Doc Redman has been if you only want to look at the last 7 rounds on tour, Doc Redman has been like the best player on the tour, tee to green. Brent Snedeker, on the other hand, relied on 5 strokes gained last week. I think he lost like 6 on approach. these guys could not be going in opposite directions. Give me all the Doc Redman, Greg.
Yeah, I think I like Doc Redman too. He came in second last year, which, you know, you have one sample size. So that's why he's in a matchup with Bryson DeChambeau. You have, I'm sorry, listen to me, Brant Snedeker. You only have one. Too. Yeah. So I'm going to go Doc Redman here. He's hitting it great. Like you said, he's starting to really get garner some confidence. And I don't have confidence in Brant Snedeker's swing just yet. I think he's got a little bit of work to do still. But, you know, as they say, a great putter is a match for anybody. So this isn't one that I'm running towards, but I'm siding with Doc Redman.
KP.
Yeah, the doctor. Feels like a sucker bet because he finished T2 last year, but it's not because he's playing really well. And so it's almost like it's a weird like two-way thing that you have to like dig deep, but then go even deeper to see what's going on.
This one's really interesting. Kurt Kitayama, who Monday qualified, and we didn't get a chance to talk about this, Greg, because he wasn't even in the field when we did the DFS preview.
Yeah, he's high price point.
He's right? $8,100 on DraftKings. That has got to be the highest price for a Monday qualifier ever. And he's going up against Rory Sabatini in this matchup, both of them -110. Do you like a side?
I like Sabatini. Now you watch out. The Monday qualifier here could get really hot in Kurt yeah. Kitayama, but Rory Sabatini is a guy I like for the week. He came in tied third last year. He's striking the ball nicely. I'm going to go Rory Sabatini. I think he's set up for another good week.
I do also like Rory Sabatini this week. However, I'm going to take the Monday hot hand here. You know, you got to go pretty low to get into to Monday qualify. I'll go with Kitayama. What do you say, KP?
Last year, Monday qualifiers finished 1-2. Although I guess Lashley didn't technically Monday qualify. He played in the Monday qualifier.
He was third alternate.
And then he got in as an alternate. So that's interesting. I'm still going Rory because I pick Rory every week and I'm just taking a different one this week.
I did not see that coming. Okay. All right. Here's what Christian Bezuidenhout -125 versus Harold Varner III. I'm pretty shocked at this, Greg. That's a steep number. I mean, Bezuidenhout was playing, he was playing fine before the shutdown, but pretty big number against HV3.
Yeah. I like HV3 here. We're going to be talking about him again later on in the show, but Harold Varner III is striking it really nicely. I got some of his numbers here. He's 21st off the tee this year, 25th approaching the green, 14th tee to green this year. The putter needs a little bit of work, but I mean, the guy's hitting 70% of his greens regulation, hitting it great, and he's learning. He's continuing to put himself into these situations where he's feeling the pressure and he's learning from it. And I think he's due. He's kind of getting himself a lot of confidence. So I like HV3 this week.
This is one that I feel like Vegas knows more than me when they drop a line like this.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's weird because I also feel the same way about Varner, but I'm going to take Bezuidenhout because I think maybe they know something I don't. KP.
Yeah, I'm with you, Bezuidenhout. I don't love Varner. I mean, I like him like as a person. I just... I don't know. I don't love his game. Bezuidenhout's got three top 30s in his last four starts. Of course, that dates back like 5 months or whatever. I don't know. I like him here this week.
Last one, and you can see how deep this field is. Siwoo Kim -110 versus Brandon Grace -110. These two, what, Grace has the lowest round in a major ever, and Siwoo, what, won the Players? So they've got like some things on their resume too. We'll start with you, KP. Are you ready? Or do you want to?
No. I always pick Siwoo. I have a Siwoo soft spot. Here's the thing. And, you know, we talk about this, but like pedigree, resume, all that stuff. You're like, I mean, who has a better buried resume or pedigree than Siwoo Kim? He's like 23, right? 24, maybe. He's won the Players. He's won two or three times. I'm just a sucker for it, even though he's missed like four of his last five cuts. He finished T11 last week. I'll take the talent. I'll go with Siwoo.
Yeah, I'm a little worried. It's very streaky talent, and it has been through the majority of his career for Siwoo Kim. He's kind of one of those boom or bust, trick or treat, as I like to say, kind of players. Brendan Grace, I think, is a little more steady. So I'm going to take the steady guy here. But Siwoo could, I mean, he could prove you wrong. He's the kind of guy that the talent KP's mentioning there. He could win the tournament and you'd be surprised coming in based on his form, but not based on his abilities. But yeah, I'm going to go with the steady player here in Brendan Grace.
If Siwoo wins the tournament, I will do the, remember when Spieth sang, Siwoo shaking that ass at the, at the 17 President's Cup, I'll sing that on Sunday night.
Deal.
If Siwoo wins it.
Okay. Well, then I will also take Siwoo so I can root for that. He did. he was fourth last week in strokes gained tee to green. And you know, I'm a sucker for that. So I'll take Siwoo as well. Gentlemen, time for our expert picks. I think we can go through these pretty quickly because we've kind of alluded to a lot of them. So we'll start with our sleepers. Mine is also HV3. Greg, we've talked about HV3 a lot. He gained like 7 strokes on approach last week. I like the idea, unfortunately, of him having to build all this scar tissue with close calls and failures on the weekend, but that will eventually help him. So he is my sleeper this week as well.
Yeah, I agree. And when you hear him talk about it, it doesn't feel like scar tissue to him. You know, you watch players and their body language out there, and there are some times when it feels like that it really hurts. Like I was looking at Brendan Todd last week, Xander Schauffele after the Charles Schwab Challenge, and I could see a little hurt in there. It's hard to explain. It's hard to like put a number to, but you could just see it with Harold Varner III. He carries himself so nicely, and you hear what he has to say in interviews, and he understands that it's a process and he's working towards it. So I love his numbers this week, and I think he's a player that's on the rise. So I'm going to go Harold Varner III as my sleeper as well.
And we'll get to see him on Wednesday, see how good his game looks. KP.
That's right.
I've got Will Gordon. It feels like, you know, just the way he played last week, if he's a bigger, I don't know, if he's a bigger name, it seems like he should be more like 50 or 60 to one this week coming in. But he's at 80, and I really like that number. I just think, I mean, we keep saying it, but I just think he's really good. Like, I that's just the corner that I'm on is Will Gordon's really good at golf. And maybe it doesn't pan out like that, but 80 to one, I think that's worth it.
Top 10 pick. I usually go deeper here and find somebody like 6.5, 10 to 1, something like that. I'm just going with Bryson. I mean, if we usually call this top 10 lock. And if you want to lock it up, I mean, Bryson has done nothing but top 10s. And I don't know how that stops this week in a weaker field, Greg.
Yeah, I understand your point. I almost went the same way as you. But I just wonder, is this going to go? I feel like we're kind of at a crossroads here where for Bryson, he's going to have a great week and win, or he's going to have a not so great week. And it'll be, you know, probably a T20 is probably his floor right now. So I don't know where he's going to go. I'm going to go Victor Hovland. I think Victor Hovland's on the rise. We talked about his tee to green play, so we don't need to spend too much time on it, but I think he's fixing for a real good week.
Yeah, I agree. I wanted to pick Hovland to win. I saw that Rick picked him, and I didn't want to just copy Rick, which I usually end up doing anyway. But Hovland's lost strokes, a lot of strokes on the greens in 2 of the last 3 weeks. And in the week he gained strokes, it was like 0.003. I mean, it was like right at field average. And yet his spot on the leaderboard continues to improve. He goes from T23 to T18 to T11 last week, and he was terrible putting last week. He was so bad with the putter. I really, really like him this week as not only a top 10 guy, but potentially to win.
Okay, well, he is my pick to win, and the dirty little secret is if you're the first to reply in the email chain or in the doc, you get to pick whoever you want. So I jump in first and pick whoever I want. And then when I get in there and see someone else has a pick, and then I'm like, oh crap, now I got to change my pick to somebody else. So Victor Hovland was my choice one. Greg, where did you go for your pick to win?
I think I was last in there. So I saw where you guys were going.
I was last in there.
And I went Webb Simpson. Nobody took him. And I think the guy's playing great. Comes off kind of a unique situation last week where he's unable to play, but it's clear that the game is in great form. And I think the situation with him withdrawing at the Travelers kind of takes away from a little bit of the spotlight of him winning at the RBC Heritage. It kind of takes the spotlight off of him a little bit. And the spotlight this week seems to be more on Bryson. Victor Hovland is definitely getting a lot of attention as well. And Webb's just kind of laying low there. And I think this is another golf course that's going to suit his game really well. And I think he's going to have a great week and get a second win in a row.
Do you still have him available in your one and done, Greg?
I don't think so. No, I'm going to have to go somewhere else. I'm probably going to go, spoiler alert, Tyrrell Hatton.
Mm. Hatton worries me because he's living at that like three strokes gained a round deal. And you're like, is Hatton like Tiger 2000? Like, what's going on here? Like, is that sustainable?
The numbers are ridiculous. They're ridiculous. But I feel like I can't. I don't know. Maybe I'll go. I haven't decided yet. I might go somebody a little bit. Yeah, you know, no, I'm not letting you guys talk me off the.
I'm not trying to talk you into anything.
That was more. last time I had this conversation with, we were discussing it. I had my eye on Hat, and he comes in like tied third, and I let you guys unintentionally, I'll admit, unintentionally talk me off. I went with Patrick Reed, who missed the cut. So I think I'm going to stick with my guns this week. Hopefully it doesn't bite me. But yeah, Hatton's been ridiculously good. So why stop now?
His season, if it ended right now, would be the fourth best strokes gain season ever. I looked that up yesterday.
What is he? First approach, first putting, 33rd off the tee off the top of my head. It's ridiculous.
It's yeah, wild.
It's been unreal. I'm going with Pat Reed. I don't feel great about it because a lot of his strokes gain numbers recently have been with the putter. It's a little bit who he is, so I'm not super concerned about it. But I don't know. I just he kind of stood out to me in a week where there's just not a lot of stars and big names. Where did he play well? He played well at Colonial, so 3 weeks ago. So I don't know. I'm not fired up about picking Patty Reed this week, but that's who I'm going with. I am going with Hovland in our one and done, though.
I love that you guys are telling me who you're going with in the one and done.
I don't know why I'm doing that.
Well, I saw that you both don't have Patrick Reed left. I did check that. Real quick on best bets, and we'll get out of here. I'm taking Doc Redman as a top five American. Think about that. Top five American. He might win the golf tournament. Might be just top five. Might be what? Top five American. 7.5 to 1.
Oh, that's a good number.
It's a really good number.
Yeah.
He might win the golf tournament.
Yeah, that's great. I like that a lot.
Just a lot of Americans. That's my only worry. It worries me a little bit.
There's a lot of Americans on the PGA Tour. That is a tank,
no. In this event, look, I'm just saying you. There's a chance you could come in. He could come in sixth place, play a great week, and you could lose that bet. But I mean, it's a good number. It's a good bet. It's just
Greg. You teased yours. So you took one of our matchups. Which one was it?
It was Lucas Glover over Brendan Todd. I'm worried about Brendan Todd, and I think Glover's. I think you're looking at kind of guys going in opposite directions. Lucas Glover's on the way up. Brendan Todd's kind of, I think he's feeling a little down. I'm a little worried about him.
All right. Kyle, you do not have one in the outline, so I have no idea where you're going right now.
No, I don't have one, but I did write this for CBSSports.com. I like, and these are dumb bets. I realize that I'm just admitting that, but I like the Bryson or Victor Hovland to win. And I think it was 4 to 1.
You get either of them to win.
Yeah, you get either one of those. That's like doing like a 18 parlay in college football, isn't it?
Or you could do, I saw you can do exact placing, like Bryson 1, Hovland 2, and it's like 90 to 1 or something like that.
Wow. I kind of like that.
So like the opposite, where you either get both of them or you have to pick the exacta.
Real quick, can I give a shout out to my favorite group I've ever seen in a PGA Tour event?
Sure.
Yeah.
Matthew Wolf, CT Pan, the bread man, and Vijay Singh are all in a group together.
Wow.
That's incredible. That's got everything.
That is pretty wild, actually. There was one. So the Hovland group's great. It's Hovland. I just had it. Who's he playing with?
Oh, I saw it.
It's
don't
so
know.
Good. Hold on. I have it right
while here. You're looking it up. Vijay is 35 years older than Matthew Wolf.
That's wild.
That's insane.
Victor Hovland, HV3, Wes Bryan, baby. Wes Bryan's back.
What a great dark horse this week. So is Matthew Wolf.
Do you think Hovland will be the longest guy in that group or no?
Yeah.
That's a joke. That's a joke.
I do. Because I think I'm longer than Wes Bryan. I hit it like 240.
You might be longer than HV too.
Oh, man. All right. I haven't played in a while. I've been in quarantine. All right, gentlemen. That'll do it. this episode of the First Cut Rocket Mortgage Preview. Don't forget, you can check out the Rocket Mortgage this week on CBS at 3 o'clock Eastern. Watch on CBSSports.com, the CBS Sports app, or through all of your connected devices. Let me thank Greg Ducharme. You can find him on Twitter at TheRealGFD. Let me thank Kyle Porter. You can find him on Twitter at Kyle Porter CBS. I'm Rick Gaiman. You can find me on Twitter at Rick Run Good. This has been the First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.